Well, I appreciate the Lord. It's a joy to serve Him, isn't it? This is the greatest life you'll ever live. It's this life right here. Amen. It pays to serve God. Amen. What a... I'd say Brother Tim could sing tonight, and one blessed man, couldn't he? Had his daughter up here, missionary, and granddaughter going to do the work of the Lord with her new husband, and a son, assistant pastor, evangelist, and daughter Grace in the back, kind of out of the limelight back there, but she's doing a lot of work. Amen. She's a workhorse. She's also a guard dog. Amen. I wouldn't want to be the man that has to follow Brother Tim around here. Amen. Amen. It'd be hard, wouldn't it, Miss Grace? But the Lord is good. Turn your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. We'll be back in 1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight. There's a whole lot of good preaching right here. Got a lot of good missions preaching out of this chapter. And I've been kind of studying this afternoon and chewing on some thoughts, trying to write these things down. And that sometimes that's not always easy, but I believe the Lord's given me a few little simple thoughts here tonight to try to help you as a church in the area of faith promise missions. And like Brother Tim said, I believe we have a book that is it's a faith promise missions book. I believe you can go just about to every verse in the Bible and you can see the application from Genesis to Revelation. And any good missions preacher can look at the Bible and see that is the heart of God, is to get the gospel to the world. And all the way through here, we find that the Bible has given us examples and illustrations of what our job is to do as a church in this area of missions. And I haven't tried to get up this week and teach you about what Faith Promise Missions is, because you already know what it is. I would just be preaching something that is repetitive to you about our job and what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. If it was a brand new church plant that knew nothing about that, you could start at ground zero and try to teach that from the Word of God. But I've just really tried to preach to your heart and try to get you stirred up and to see what our responsibility is in this area of getting the gospel to the world. And I hope that these practical applications will just fit right into your life where you're living right now, in this day in which we're living in. And I believe that there's some application here, no doubt, to David and these men and some things that are going on in their life here. And once again, we'll just kind of continue where we left off last night. There was a little bit of a gap in the message last night, but there's something that happened between where I started last night and where we ended last night about that crowd that went with David, the 400 men, and that 200 that abode behind at that brook Besor. And of course, we know the story where they went and they got the wives and they got the children back. But on the journey there, while they were going to rescue their family and obey what God told David to do, there's a very interesting passage right here in the middle of this account. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And verse number 10, look at it tonight if you would. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 10. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Verse 11 says, and they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him to drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and 2 clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kirithites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burnt Ziklag with fire. David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because all the great spoil that they had taken of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day. I like that, don't you? Thank God, amen, for somebody that's willing to fight. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men. They were a bunch of cowards, which rode upon camels and fled. Amen. Verse 18 says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. The Bible said David recovered all, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. I want to look tonight here at these David and his men, and we preached last night about how that these men had returned to this scene of devastation. In verse number 1, we found that they had just got done doing battle in chapter number 29. And in verse number 1 of chapter 30, they were hoping to come home to mama and the children. And they found out that there was another battle on their hands. The enemy had came in. In verse number 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. In verse number 10, God told David, said, go pursue after your family, after he got a hold of God. I want to say, number one here, just by means of introduction, David and his men were faint from the battle. And if you serve God, you're going to get faint in this battle tonight. Now, it's going to be not only just one battle and two battles, but this Christian life is full of battles, isn't it? And it just seems like you go from one battle to another battle to another battle. And I wish I could stand up here as a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel preacher and tell you that it's going to be wonderful and you can live your best life now. But if you read the Bible, that's not the message that you get. You know why? Because the Bible said that we are living in a sin-cursed world. Somebody said, why is all this bad stuff happening? If God really loved us, why would He allow this to happen? I'll tell you why it all happens tonight. Because we live in a sin-cursed, broken world, and Jesus is not going to let it all, amen, everybody get by with it. He did, amen, pay the price and left the portals of glory, came down to this earth and was born of a virgin, grew up a sinless life, and He paid the sin debt, amen, so that we could have some hope in this sin-cursed, broken world. And yet we find that these men were faint from the battle. And then I want you to see number two here. Not only were they faint from the battle, but their family were in a mess, man. I mean, look at verse number 2 and 3. We looked at it last night, but I'm just kind of leading up to this introduction here. The Bible said, and had taken the women captives and were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, carried them away, went on their way. Verse 2 said, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Man, what a mess tonight. You know what I found out about all of us? We are all in a mess. Amen. So you say, well, what about that family right there that look like they got it all together? Listen, if they're going to serve God, and they're going to stay in this fight, amen, God's going to see to it that they too get in a mess. Things are not always like they appear tonight, are they? Amen. Sometimes we think that this is a perfect family. And there's the perfect husband and the perfect wife and the perfect children. And they're all just doing right. I mean, they walk in church and they're all dressed the same. And they all walk the same. And they all look the same. And they just must be this perfect family that has no problems. And it's like a Hollywood movie, man. I mean, just everything's wonderful and hunky-dory. I'm telling you, that's not the way it is in most cases. You serve God, amen, you'll find out that we are all in a mess. And every one of David's family, amen, his wives and their sons, I'm telling you, their family was in a mess tonight. And maybe some of you in here tonight, that's where you're at. And the devil wants to get us sidetracked from the mission that God's given us as a local New Testament church, because we get our eyes off Jesus Christ,
We get our eyes off the mission that God's given to us to get this gospel that He has entrusted us to a lost and dying world, amen? And we get our eyes on our problems and we get it off of the Lord Jesus, and the devil gets us right where he wants us. Can I say tonight that these men, they had a responsibility at home. The enemy did come in. The enemy did, amen, come in. And the Bible said there that taking all these kids, taking these wives, and David did get a hold of God and said, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? And God said, go get your family back. Well, what a great deal of advice to all of us tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't let the devil slip in, amen. And don't you lose your fight. Amen. We ought to fight for our children and fight for our wife and fight for our grandkids, amen. Amen. Don't just sit around and let the devil slip in. I mean, listen, we might have to take some action and get up in the midst of our battle, even though we're faint, and fight for our family. Fight for our children, amen. Their family was in a mess. And then I want to say number three here, they're fixing to do something real stupid. You know what I found out? Sometimes we can just do some stupid things. Right in the middle of trying to do right. In verse 6, that Bible said that David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him. That's not a very good decision. I mean, listen, well, what in the world are they thinking? And we talked about it last night, they're trying to dump this blame on somebody because they're hurt, because the enemy came in. Can I say tonight, that's not the best thing for you to do. Amen. You ought not to speak of stoning the man of God. Just because your family's falling apart, just because it's not working out like you thought it was going to work out, doesn't mean it's this man's fault. Amen. I'll tell you what it means. It means we live in a sin-cursed world, and your children and your wife and your family members, they all have a free will tonight. Amen. You can try to control that situation if you want to, amen, but I'm telling you, you cannot control it. They were about to do something real stupid. Spake of stoning the man of God and had to blame this thing on somebody else, and then they had some factions among each other. We saw that, amen, they got divided there. Instead of being for each other, they became against each other. If this don't look like a local New Testament church, amen, I don't know what does. Amen. Faint in the battle, doesn't that seem like the church? Family in a mess, doesn't that seem like the average independent Baptist church? Fixing to do something stupid, I see it all the time. And people, I mean, we go back to the same churches over and over again. And people that used to be there, normally it is that they're right up front, they're on fire serving God, and then you go back to the next year, they're about halfway back. And they're not singing like they used to, they're missing out on a few services here and there, and they just ain't got that passion like they used to have. Then you go back the next year, and they're on the back row. Then you go back the next year, and they done something stupid, they quit. And drug their family out, amen. Start fighting amongst one another, amen, and start running their mouth over here about this individual, start running their mouth over that individual, and meanwhile, the world's dying and going to hell, and their town's dying and going to hell, and they done lost their testimony, and they're dragging people out of the house of God, and the devil's sitting around laughing and saying, ha, 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 look at where I got this church now. God wanted to do something real big, and now He just causes factions. And now here they are in verses 8 through 10. They're fighting the enemy for their family. Thank God, amen, they just decided in the midst of all that was going on to fight. But I want to look here, and this is the message tonight. In the midst of all this is going on in these men's lives. Wouldn't you say that's a big old mess? Amen. Well, I mean, this is an absolute chaotic mess that's going on with David and his church, if I could say it that way. And his assembly of men that's trying to do something for God. What a mess that they're in. But right here in the middle of all this, God shows us that even though they're faint and their family is in a mess, they're fixing to do something stupid, they got factions amongst one another, and they're still trying to fight the enemy for their own family, God said this: you have a responsibility in your own home, but you still have a responsibility to reach the world. And that responsibility, no matter what's going on at home, here's the message tonight: don't forget the Egyptian.
Right.
Don't forget the one. And in verse number 11, we find here that they found a soul in the field. Yeah. And may we tonight, church, may we not forget the value of a soul. Amen. Thank God David was not a reactionary, by the way. David knew something about soldiers, and he knew something about sheep. He knew something about saints. And David even knew something about sliding back on God, didn't he? As a matter of fact, he practiced, not only did he believe in backsliding, he practiced it a little bit. He knew something about all that. He knew that these men were in a mess, amen. They were in a mess when he found them in chapter number 22. They were in distress, they were in debt, they were discontented. And now here they are, David's got them, and they're making a journey to go get their family back. And in verse number 11, the Bible says, and they found an Egyptian in the field. God was going to use this bunch to save one worthless Egyptian. A bunch of Hebrew men, a bunch of Jewish men, a bunch of, amen, the stock of Israel. God was going to use them in the midst of their mess. I'm glad tonight God specializes in taking big messes like you and I and allows us to touch the lives of a bunch of good for nothing, worthless, amen, wicked, ungodly sinners. And He'll use us, amen, to touch their lives and save them by His marvelous grace. I'm thankful tonight somebody cared enough for me to carry me the gospel. Even though they might have been in a mess, their world might have been in turmoil. Thank God, amen. Thank God somebody showed me the way. And look at what the king found in the field. You say, who did he find? He found me, amen. And He found you tonight if you're saved by the grace of God. May God rekindle in our hearts tonight in this crazy age that we're living in where the world is falling apart and everybody's in a mess. May God rekindle our hearts tonight in this local New Testament church called Bethany Independent Baptist Church right here in Cortland, Mississippi. Amen. Your world might be turned all upside down. Your family might be in a mess. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, but may we not forget the one Egyptian that's still in the field out there in this world that we live in. You say, what was going on with this Egyptian? I want to show you what was going on in this Egyptian's life. I want to say, number one here, this Egyptian was forsaken by his master. Look at verse number 13 of our text. The Bible said, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite. Look at this. My master left me. My master left me. We find here that this Egyptian's master left him in the field. This master that this Egyptian had did not love him. As a matter of fact, his master had lied to him. The Bible said he left him there. And he said, because 3 days have gone, I fell sick. He lied to him, and he was lost without hope, and now he was looking for something that would satisfy his soul tonight. Can I say tonight, amen, his master and his friends, you know what they were doing? They left him right there, and when David, look at verse number 15, or verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they, who's that? That's the master and all his friends. Look at verse 16. They were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing. You know who they weren't thinking about? They weren't thinking about that Egyptian they left in the middle of the field. You know why? Because this world does not care about you like you think it cares about you tonight. Amen. I tell you, there ain't nobody that cares for you like a local New Testament church. Ain't nobody cares for you like this bunch right here. Amen. The devil's going to come in here and tell some of you young people, well, that preacher don't care about you. Brother Daniel don't care about you. That pastor's wife don't care about you. Those people down there, they don't care about you. You need to go out here with your friends and have you a good old time. You can drink and you can dance and you can party. Amen. You can just have you a good old dining time out there. Amen. Just having you a time out there in the world. Don't you know you're missing out on the good life? I'm telling telling you tonight, this all of their friends, you know what happened? While their friends were out there at partying it up and having a good time, they left their friend, they left him for dead in the middle of the field. Listen, every time I preach, if I preach against the world, the flesh, and the devil, I try to let young people know it ain't what it appears to be. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the devil always leave you for dead. Amen. The devil will lie to you. And when the devil and your friends, amen, and this world is through with you, they'll leave you high and dry, just like they did with this Egyptian. Left him high and dry. He had nothing. Amen. Nobody was looking for him. Amen. And when they got that boy, listen, I thought about some of the young girls in our church, you know. I've seen it. It happens at Shady Acres. We've seen that some of the best girls in our church sitting there, keep themselves clean, keep themselves pure, try to do right, and some little scoundrel, teenage boy, some 20, 21-year-old slips in. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for that clean girl. Amen. He puts on the dog for a little while. He puts on his little religious show. Amen. But he's after one thing. He's after that clean girl. You know why? Because he ain't after God. He ain't after the things of God. He's sent there by the devil to destroy a life and to destroy a soul tonight. And thank God for some men of God, some shepherds that'll stand up and say, hey, that you might do that somewhere else, but you ain't going to do that at this church. Amen. Some sheepdogs, amen, that'll rally around that girl. Or maybe it's a young man trying to live for God. Some dirty-legged woman comes in, try to deceive him, pull him out. Just like that woman over there in Proverbs chapter number 7. The Bible says he was sitting in the casement of the window. Amen. Just like Eutychus was. And he knew, hey, her feet didn't abide in her house. He was out there, and he was looking at what was going on the outside. Just like some of you young people tonight. Amen. Right here, in body, you're right here. But in spirit and in your heart, you done left. Listen, people's heart and their mind and their spirit leaves long before their body does. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, when it gets done with you, listen to this preacher tonight, you will be forsaken by the master of this old world. When he gets what he wants from you, amen, that young man, he gets your virginity, he'll leave you with a ruined testimony, he'll leave you with an illegitimate child, he'll leave you with a broken heart, he'll leave you with a broken home, he'll leave you with a wrecked life, and he does not love you, he just lusts you tonight. He don't love you. Amen. The drink of this world, you know what it'll do? It'll just leave you more thirsty. Amen. The drugs of this world just take you lower than you ever wanted to go when you're trying to go a little higher. Egypt, my friend, on the outside is wine and women and song, isn't it? But on the inside, Egypt's full of dead men's bones. And when it's all said and done, you'll be saying, just like this Egyptian did, laying there for dead. 3 days and three nights with nothing to eat, nothing to drink. You Google how long you can go without water. 3 days and three nights. You know what that means? He was right on the brink of death. They came right in the nick of time, friend. He was right there on the nick of death. Listen, you know what you'll say? The same thing this man said. My master left me. He didn't really care for me. And sin never leaves a man better than when it found him. Never seen sin leave a man better off than when it found him. Listen, sin, my friend, tonight will always, amen, it'll always make you stupid. Amen, sin just makes people stupid. Amen, you won't think right, you won't talk right, you won't do right, you won't live right, you won't dress right. Amen, you'll just be as dumb as a barrel of hair tonight, as the old preacher used to say. And sin is stronger than good sense. That's what Brother Don Green used to say. Sin's stronger than good sense. And sin, as that Bible said, and that Bible still is true, sin, when it's finished, it bringing forth death. He was forsaken by his master. And then I want you to see number two. I like this because thank God there was some good news. Amen. Because number two here, not only was he forsaken by his master, I'm talking about don't forget the Egyptian. Amen. I know your world's falling apart. I know your family's in a mess. I know there's factions going on. I know you're trying to hold this thing together. But don't forget the Egyptian. Forsaken by his master. Number two, he was found by some men. Look at verse number 11 here. I like this. Man, I love the Bible. The Bible says, and they found an Egyptian. Thank God they was looking in the right direction. They found him in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. He did eat, and they made him drink water. I want to say number one here, they found him in the field.
Yeah.
You said, where was he at? He's in the field. You said, what's the field? Field's the world. That's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, Jesus said, the field is the world. And God still is in the business of wanting his church to leave the four walls of this building and find some Egyptians in the field of the world that you live in. That's why the preacher's saying, get you some gospel tracts. You know why? There's Egyptians out there. Amen. Your co-workers, your neighbors, your acquaintances, that barista at Starbucks, if you go get you a coffee, that waiter, that waitress, you know what they are? Egyptians laying in the field. And many of them have been forsaken by the master. And nobody's even looking in their direction. You know what they are? They're lost, just like this man was lost. You know the only thing worse than being lost is being lost and nobody even looking for you. Nobody looking for you. And many of these people in this town right here, I'm talking about in North Mississippi, there's people that have never had anybody looking in their direction. Nobody praying for them. Nobody had a burden for them. Nobody trying to get them the gospel. And God has sent you in your messed up world to cross their path in this world that we're living in to go find them. Listen, you know why they had to be found? They're lost. You have to find something that's lost. And he was found in the field because he was lost and without hope. And then listen tonight, we have to pray and we have to give and we have to go. And as your preachers taught you, you do that at the same time. It's a both ministry. The same time they were trying to rescue their own family, they were rescuing an Egyptian. They didn't take their mind off their family. They were still going to do battle with the Amalekites here and these individuals that had taken their family captive. They didn't forsake their own family. They didn't forsake their own wives. They didn't forsake their own children. But they did not, amen, pass up an opportunity to help an Egyptian along the way. They found him in the field. Amen. In the midst of their brokenness and their heartbreak and their devastation, their own personal problems, their own trials, they still had the time to stop and, amen, find the soul of one that no one cared for. That Egyptian wasn't the same color skin that they were. Can I say that again? We're rednecks around here. I'm one too, amen. You look deep enough, I got a redneck. Amen, listen, if we're not careful, we'll pass them up because they don't have the same color skin as we do. Maybe tonight they look different than we look. Maybe they talk a little different and they dress a little different and they have a little different culture. Maybe their religion's different than ours and we don't like that extremist religion. Maybe they got a towel on their head and a Quran in their hand. Maybe, amen, they're praying some prayer three times a day and we're thinking, we know what you did to this country. We know what your religion did on September 11th of 2001. You all deserve to go to hell. Can I remind you tonight, Independent Baptists, amen, and I am one. I'm glad I'm one tonight, amen. I ain't preaching against my own tonight, but I'm telling you, as an Independent Baptist kid that was raised in church under King James Bible and old-time religion I'm thankful for tonight, I deserve to go to hell just as much as the Islam. And you did too tonight. We're all just as guilty. Amen. If you die without God tonight, even if you're a church brat, you'll go to the same hell as the Islamic is going to. Amen. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And these men did not let all those things stop them from caring for this man. They knew what that Bible said in Exodus 11 verse 7. This Bible still said, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that they may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. But they still stopped and cared for a soul. There was a difference. And the Lord made the difference. Amen. God brought them out of Egypt. They spent 400 years in bondage. And yet they still, amen, cared enough for the one. They had no idea. Listen tonight, and you and I have no idea what that one's going to do for God. This one Egyptian right here in the midst of this field, I got to thinking about this today. He was the missing link that God was going to use to save their family. He was the one that was the missing link that got them to save their family. May tonight we stop just focusing on our own and start looking at a lost and dying world. Start looking at all the things we could have if we could just give our own money to our own family and our own children and our own heritage and our own grandchildren and say, you know what? I'm not just going to focus on our family and the things that we want, our needs, but I'm going to dig down in my pocket and I'm going to give an old-fashioned mission offering every single week for 52 weeks, amen, to get the gospel to a lost and dying world, because there's some Egyptians out there that need the gospel, and maybe God will see that and say, hey, I like that. That's my heartbeat. That's my will. And because you did that by faith, I'm going to do something for your children. I'm going to do something for your grandchildren. I'm going to do something for your wife. I'm telling you tonight, I believe God might do something special in our churches if we get our eyes back on the world and get it off our own self. Oh, this man was a missing link. You take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. Every time. You start trying to take care of your own business, friend, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. They found him in a field. Then I want to say number two, he was friended by the king. In verse number 11, look at this. And they found an Egyptian in the field. You know what the first thing they did to him? They didn't try to make him dress right. They didn't get him in the baptismal waters. Amen. They didn't try to make him an independent Baptist or religious individual. They didn't put a suit tie on him. You know, the very first thing they did to this man, they introduced him to the king. They got this man to David, amen, because they knew that David could help them. Hey, listen, you know why? Because they remember when David helped them, amen, when they were in debt and they were in distress and they were discontented, amen. They remember when David stepped into their life and became a friend to them and loved them and fed them and watered them and became a captain over them. And they thought, man, listen, we know exactly what this man's just like, because this Egyptian looks just like we did, amen, when David stepped into our life. And they took that Egyptian, they didn't introduce him to themselves, amen. They introduced him to the king, amen, named David. And tonight, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to introduce this lost and dying world to our friend, amen, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll feed them with bread. He'll give them bread, amen. He is still the bread of life. He'll still give them a water that they can drink that they'll never thirst again. As Jesus said in John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen. And they found him in a field, and they brought him to David. And the very first thing that they did when they found David, amen, is he gave them bread, and he gave him something to drink tonight. Oh, I'm glad tonight we have a message to feed this world. It's a supernatural message. Verse 13, this man had to admit. Amen. I like this part right here. I was looking at verse 13 today. I was just meditating on this thing, reading through here. Verse 13, this man had to admit who he was. You know what else he had to do? He had to admit where he was from and who he belonged to. You know tonight, you'll never meet the king. You'll never, amen, get to have that bread of life. You'll never get to taste of the water of life, amen. You'll continue to thirst and have that empty hole in your heart until you as an individual do what this man had to do. Very first thing David said, he said unto him, to whom belongest thou? He had to be honest about who he belonged to. And he said, and where in the world are you from? You know what I like about that Egyptian? He was as honest could be. He knew who those men were. I mean, listen, he'd heard about David, no doubt, because he was part of the company that was just down there taking the wives and the children and the spoil. Could you imagine David when they saw, they knew who this young man was. He was the one down there. Maybe he laid hold on one of David's wives. Maybe he's the one that put his hands on David's children. And somewhere along the way in the journey, he got sick. Amen. They left him right there. But David said, who are you and where are you from? Listen tonight, you'll never get born again. You'll never meet the friend that we have tonight whose name is Jesus Christ until you get honest about who you are and where you're going when you die. Amen. Where you're from. Until you say, I am a child of the devil. Amen. I'm going to hell when I die. I know I'm a Baptist brat that was raised in this thing my whole life. I know my daddy's a preacher. My grandpa's a preacher. My daddy's a deacon. I'm a Sunday school teacher. You might even lead somebody to the Lord. I ain't trying to get nobody to doubt tonight. But until you get to that place where you say, I am lost when undone. I'm going to hell when I die. I'm guilty of sin tonight. You will never meet the King. You might get some religion, but you won't meet Jesus. Maybe somebody in here tonight needs to get honest. Just like this man had to do. They found him in the field and he was friended by the king. And then I want to say this about this man. He was filled with life. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And glory be to God. Amen. He got more than he came for. Amen. Oh, listen. God started giving him more than he needed. Thank God for, amen, some sustenance in this thing to get us going, amen. And when he had eaten, look at what happened here. His spirit came to him again. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. He was saved just in the nick of time. You know what that Bible said? That Bible said in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, 27, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put a spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And God help us tonight to introduce the lost and dying world to our King. Because he's the one that found us. He's the one that friended us. And he's the one that filled us with life. And he came not that we just might have life. He came that we might have life more abundantly. He got some life when he got that bread and water. But he got more than just bread and water. He got him some cakes. Amen. Some figs and some clusters of raisins tonight. Well, listen, thank God for the blessings of God in our life. Amen. The blessings that get us going, that revive our spirit within us. Amen. So we can keep on going on for God. I'll say number one here. He was forsaken by his master. He was found by some men. And I'm finished with this. In verses 14 through 16 here, got to looking at what happened after this man's spirit came again to him. He was freed to make his own choice. You know where you're at tonight, church? Tonight you are free to choose. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on anybody in here tonight. You're free to choose. You're not free not to choose. Yeah. There's people who say, well, Brother Brian, I'm just not going to choose tonight. By not choosing, you just made your choice. Yeah. You're free to choose. You're not free not to choose. And you're not free to choose the consequences of your choice. Right. He was free to make his own choice. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says here, we made an invasion upon the south of the Kerithites, upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burnt Ziklag with fire. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. I like verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking, dancing, because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. First thing I see here is that he had this promise of life. You see, the first thing that David did here is promised him that that he would no longer die. He was on the brink of death, and he should have died. He was guilty for what he had done. But my friend David made him a promise, and I'm glad tonight you meet David, our heavenly David, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. He promises us eternal life, and we shall never perish. He had the promise of life. He said, promise me that you're not going to kill me. And then he had this, number two, his past was loosed.
Yeah.
He said, not only promise me, amen, that I'm going to have life. He said, but loose me from my past. Don't take me back to my master. Oh, listen, I'm glad tonight that we did not just get saved, amen, out of sin. We got saved from sin. And I'm glad there's a God, amen, that will give us life and more life more abundantly. But we don't have to go back to that old life. So stop looking back there. Stop, amen, peeking back there. As if you're young here tonight and you knew what your mom and daddy did before they got saved by the grace of God, stop looking over their shoulder and wondering what it must have been like. Listen, he said, don't turn me back over to my master. He said, he left me for dead. He didn't treat me right. I don't want to go back to that old life. And I'm done with this tonight. I could labor and preach on these things tonight. But I like the last thing he did here, because he was free to make his own choice. He was promised life. His past was loosed. But then the last thing that David did here, as he was free to make his own choice on what he was going to do, the last thing he did as he was put on the front lines of the service of the king. Look at this, verse 15 and 16. I'll read it again. David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear to me by God that thou neither kill me nor deliver me to the hands of my master. And then he said this, and I will bring thee down to the company. And when he had brought him down. Do you see what he was doing? He was now, this Egyptian that was a nobody left by his master, is now on the front lines with the king. He's on the front lines with the king, and he is serving with the king, amen. And he's the one that said, there they are. There's the enemy. There's your family. There's your children. There's your spoil. And the Bible said, when David saw all that, amen, he let him down there. He was the one that was the missing link to get David and his men down to the family again. He was the one, amen, that was instrumental in getting the work of God done in David and these men's life. And the Bible said that David put a whooping on them, amen. He smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day, amen. That's almost 24 hours of a good old-fashioned whooping by David and his men. Glory be to God. Boy, you talk about a man's man. And can I say tonight, if God can use an old heathen Egyptian, he can use an old redneck from Cortland, amen, Batesville, Pope, or wherever in the world you're from up here in Mississippi. Amen. God could even use somebody that lives in Michigan. It's amazing that there's even saved people in Michigan. Amen. God could use somebody from Arkansas. God could use somebody from Oklahoma. And God can even use a proud Texan, amen, the most proud state in all the 50. Amen. God resisteth the proud. I have to remind them that sometimes. I'm not sure what's going to happen to this old boy. You know, the Bible didn't say much more about him. I mean, he's right here and all this happened, you know. He leads them down there to the company. David fights, and you know the rest of the story. They get the wives and the children, the spoil, and then some back. And then David takes all that, and he don't keep all that for himself. If you read the rest of the chapter, he starts sending out all this stuff. I mean, in verse 26, let me read just some of this to you. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah. Friend, if this ain't missions, I don't know what is. And I don't have time to preach today, but it'd be a fourth sermon. He sent of the spoil to all the elders. Do you see it? Even to his friends. Boy, well, spiritual application. Some of you preachers take this and run with it if you hadn't seen it. Behold, a present for you of the spoil
of the enemies of the Lord. To them which were in Bethel, to them that were in the south of Ramah. He starts listing all the places that he sent spoil to. Amen. I mean, he's just going down through into verse 30. To them that were in Hormah, to them that were... I mean, he's sending out this spoil. He's sending it out. He's sending it out. He ain't keeping it all for himself. Amen. He had the blessings of God, and now he's taking the blessings of God and he's sending it out. You say, who was instrumental in getting all this done? One Egyptian that was left by his master. Tonight, if God could use an old boy like that, he can use you. I don't know what happened to him. I asked the Lord, Lord, what happened to him? He said, you're not going to know because I didn't tell you. Amen. You can't read something in the Bible that's not there. Now, I know some preachers, amen, they're going to add the white section of the Bible to their message right here. Amen. Some of y'all get that. But it's just not in there. So what happened to this old boy? He just kind of disappears off the scene. But maybe he learned something. I don't know. Maybe just total conjecture tonight. It's not even scriptural preaching. But it seems to me like if I was this old boy, I'd probably do maybe like that Hebrew servant did in Exodus chapter number 21. You know what he did in Exodus 21? The Bible says that Hebrew servant that was purchased, that he goes and he served his master 6 years, and after the seventh year, he could go out free. Free to make his own choice. No longer has to serve under his master anymore. But at that time, as he's free to choose, if you read Exodus 21, the Bible says he gets to thinking about all that the master's done for him. He gets to thinking about when he came into the master's house. Man, he didn't have nothing. He's just an old Hebrew servant. Didn't have any food. Didn't have any clothes. Didn't have the wife he's got. Surely didn't have those youngins that's running around laughing and playing at the house. And he gets to thinking, man, when I rolled up in here, my master found me. I didn't have nothing. Just like this man didn't have anything. The Bible said he gets to thinking, man, my master's been good to me. He gave me my wife. He gave me my children. He gave me all these blessings I've got on my life. And when I rolled up in here as a Hebrew servant, I had nothing. And now I got all these blessings and now I'm free to choose. I can go out free. And then he says, I love my master. I will not go out free. And the last thing he says, he goes to his master and he says, I believe I'll just stay right here all the days of my life and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And that Bible says that he makes a willing choice and he goes to his master and his master takes his ear and bores it through with an awl. And the Bible says that that servant shall serve his master forever. I don't know what this man did. But maybe he did like that Hebrew servant did and made a willing choice because of the goodness of God on his life. The goodness of David, that David would take the time, even though he was guilty of sin, to love him, and give him something to eat, give him something to drink, take the time to invest in him, spare his life, and then let him do something for God. Maybe tonight that's what we need to do. Men say, you know what? I love my master. And I will not go out free. Listen tonight, you can do whatever you want to. You don't have to serve God. You don't have to give a dime to missions. You don't have to come to church. You can do whatever you want to and still go to heaven if you're saved by the grace of God. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. But can I recommend to you tonight to go to your master? Give him your ear. Let him bore it through. Mark you. And say, I will not go out free. I will serve him forever. He's the worthy one tonight. May God help us not to forget the Egyptians. Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us. Lord, I don't even know how to pray for these folks. Lord, I trust the Word of God. It's challenged their hearts as it's challenged mine. stirred me up, Lord. God, to not forget the Egyptians in this world, not to forget the lost and dying world in the midst of all the battles that we're living in. Father, I pray that you'd help us, God, to keep our mind and our heart and our eyes on getting this gospel to the world. Father, help us, God, to make that decision to, Lord, love you and serve you all the days of our life. And Father, help us to stay close to you. Help us to stay clean. Father, help us to stick with this old-time religion, this thing that works. Lord, it's worked all these years, God. It's still going to work until you come back and take us out of this sin-cursed world. Father, help us now, I pray. Bless, Lord, tomorrow morning and tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Stir the hearts of this church for missions. God, I pray that you would, Lord, help them, God, not to lose the burden. Lord, not to lose their desire to live and love the Master. And Lord, help us not to forget the Egyptians. We love you tonight. Help us to love you more. Bless now these missionaries as they, Lord, try to do what you've called them to do, Father. Bless them, I pray. Keep them in the work. And Lord, I pray that you continue to finance and pay their bills. And Lord, use us to make a difference. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If God spoke to your heart tonight, as the piano player comes, you can come talk to the Lord. Amen. Make a decision. Fall in love with Him. He's worthy. He's worthy tonight.